the process to balance it out with something else so that you get a, still get a nice wine to drink at the end of it?
Well, I have to say, listen, super interesting, and we're going to come on to lots more, and I'm absolutely going to be totally guilty of plugging Penny and her amazing wine sessions that she does, because I think actually it can't hurt any of us to know a little bit about wine, especially if you're looking for a boyfriend. It always helps, you know, from my point of view, when I'm not ordering Blue Nun or Lambrini, and I actually can talk about balanced wines and a bouquet and some of the words that I've learned along the way, which Penny will... I've got a little quiz for Penny that we're going to go through. And
it's a prize?
No, yeah, the prize is... I can actually every single week talk. We're just... Why don't we just do a different wine every week? The Wine Club.
Sounds quite good.
Yeah, sounds like we may have a problem. But we're going to come back to some more kind of bits and pieces and really pick Penny's brains, because it is fascinating, and Penny's fascinating because she's so well-rounded when it comes to knowing about wines and very knowledgeable across all different regions, different countries. So I'm going to make sure we absolutely get as much out of her as we can. And yeah, she's not going anywhere. Penny, before we come back to our conversation, is there a song that I can play for you that you'd like to hear? It probably won't be the next one because I'm going to have to find it. But let me cue it up. So what would you like to hear?
Well, I did confess that I'm quite a Eurovision Song Contest fan.
Okay. I know.
And I was wondering if you might have a little bit of ABBA.
Oh, we've definitely got ABBA. I thought you were going to say something like Loreen, who was the recent winner and contender, wasn't she? She recently won, didn't she?
Yeah, she's won twice.
She's very good. I've got her on my playlist. I spin to her, actually. But I do have ABBA. And I might actually be able to find ABBA whilst I'm here scrolling through. And is there a specific song that you like? Is there an ABBA song that you want to hear?
Actually, I'm quite, you know... I don't know how good your playlist is, you know, how much choice do you have?
I have to say, we have a very, very good library, and I often just kind of go off the library because it is so extensive. We have everything. Should we choose that we like together? Because I'm not a huge... Oh, go on, go.
The winner takes it all.
The winner takes it all. Have I got that? Hang on, let's find it. I was going to go for money, 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 but that's just me. Winner takes it all. We're definitely going to have the Dancing Queen. I'm going to play you a song now whilst I find this. But I've got a bit of Arctic Monkeys. I did play this last week for lovely Joe, who's my little friend who helps me in the shows beforehand and is teaching me to twiddle the buttons and move all the knobs. But yeah, this one won't be dedicated to her, but I know she likes Arctic Monkeys, and I'll play something different. But great song. Why do you always call me when you're high?
The mirror's image, it tells me it's home time, but I'm not finished, cause you're not by my side. And as I arrived, I thought I saw you leaving, carrying your shoes, decided that once again I was just dreaming of bumping into you. Now it's 3 in the morning, and I'm trying to change your mind. Left you multiple missed calls into my mind. Did you reply? Why'd you only call me when you're high? High. Why'd you only call me when you're high? Somewhere darker, talking the same. I need a partner. Well, are you out tonight? It's harder and harder to get you to listen. More I get through the gears, incapable of making all right decisions and having bad ideas. Now it's 3 in the morning and I'm trying to change your mind. Left you multiple missed calls until my message you replied. Bye.
used to our room, he'd be the voice of doom. He said that we would thank him later. All day he was solid as a rock, but by 8 o'clock we'd be crumbling. One night, my brother Joe and me climbed down the family tree that grew outside our bedroom window. We ran, though we knew we couldn't last, running from the past, things that we were born to be. Looking back, it's so bizarre, it runs in the family.
Level 42, Running in the Family. I love that song. I think it's one of those when you're brought up with a certain band or, you know, the likes of Level 42 and Dire Straits and stuff, you have a little bit of a penchant for them. So I always play the a bit of the golden oldies, and I will be playing Penny's song next. But I can't get enough of chatting, really. And I'm thinking, having these conversations off air is actually a travesty, and we're stealing from you, listeners. So we're back on air to talk about the wines, and actually I'm really intrigued to find out, Penny, how you started, because I don't even know this, actually.
Well, many years ago.
I do have to say, sorry on that note, I don't mean to be rude, it is her birthday tomorrow. So a very, very happy birthday lovely Penny. She didn't tell me that, I just snuck that in there. But yes, do carry on, sorry.
So many years ago, actually it was a friend of ours that said about doing a wine course. It was, I think it was at a college in Ilford. And she said, oh, I found this wine course, it's like 12 weeks. It was quite cheap, it was just a few quid like for each meeting. And she said, oh, they're going to go through and they're going to teach us about different countries and different grapes, and then we do some little exam at the end, which is all for a bit of fun. But she said, what do you think? And I said, oh, actually, that might be quite interesting, just to get a little bit of knowledge. Because I think at that point I was enjoying drinking wine and trying wine, but I was sort of intrigued, if you like, to find out more. So we went and did this course, and it was amazing. It was a guy called Morris, an Irish guy who'd worked as a maitre d' in some of the best sort of restaurants and hotels in London. He was so fascinating, and he shared his knowledge with us, and I think we all put a couple of pounds in the kitty, and he brought in a couple of bottles of wine each session, and then he talked us through different countries, and I said, it's the only exam I've ever done in my life where you had a little glass of wine to get you through it.
Oh my god, sounds like my talk. Where do I sign up?
But it was literally just for a bit of fun, but I think it just kind of just opened up a whole world of sort of information and made me think, you know, I really would like to sort of, it just scratched the surface, and I thought I'd like to sort of find out more. So I think a few years later, and I just thought I'd take the plunge, and then I started sort of doing my exams, and then I've just been involved probably now for the last few years, really. So,
and it is amazing, I have to say, Penny, being a friend, but you know, being around you, whenever you have the kind of luxury of being with Penny and friends, she's always so knowledgeable about talking about these wines, and I don't look at them the same way as when I'm out with friends drinking. You know, when you can kind of really break down in a granular fashion what goes into them, how they're made, the fermentation, I just find it amazingly fascinating. And the fact that if I'm to sit an exam, I can drink, I think maybe I'll become sommelier.
To be fair, that was only that first one.
I think I've missed my vocation in life. I've missed my vocation. So, Penny, we are here. We've got lots of listeners out there. And there's a few things from my point of view, which I think will be beneficial to dispel or to get some more understanding of.
Okay.
So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Screw top or cork?
How long have we got?
Oh.
Well, actually, this is quite... It's an interesting subject because I think a lot of people still feel they prefer a bottle of wine that has a cork in it.
And
it
do you just think that's the ceremony of it?
I think it's about, it just feels nice to be able to pull the cork out of a bottle. I think it's a nice experience. It just feels a nice thing to do. But from a, what's better to use to seal the bottle, the quality now of screw cap is amazing. And to be fair though, the quality of corks is getting better and better. So a lot of it really comes down to if you're going to store a wine for a long time and you're going to leave it on its side.
On the lees, is that what that's called?
Well, no, oh, actually,
that's the fermentation process, isn't it?
Yes, very good.
Sorry,
very good.
Guys.
Yeah, you can. That's another thing. So if you're going to keep a wine for a long time, then potentially you're going to do that possibly with a cork. But generally speaking, day-to-day drinking, the quality of the wine is as good whether you're using a cork or a screw cup. I think it's just perhaps a bit, it feels a bit more traditional.
Yeah.
And I think people think if it's an expensive wine, that somehow
is, if it's got a
it should have
top.
A, yeah. So I think there's a little bit of a traditional thing going on there.
Do you think that does have that bit of a snobbery associated to it? I know that, like I've said before, I'm not au fait at all in terms of when it comes to understanding the whole kind of process of wine and stuff, but I do tend to opt for a screw top. A corkscrew and a cork, because there's something about that noise.
Exactly.
And about, you know, opening the wine, and it's like if you've had a hard day and then you put, you know, you pour it and hear that glug into a really gorgeous crystal wine glass, it's a big one, it just feels, I don't know, it is ceremonial. It's got this ceremonial,
I think, as you say, I think it's just part of the experience of it, and you don't feel the same when you screw, but when you take a screw cap
sorry
off,
about that, that X-rated PG show,
but you know, there are some really, really good wines basically that have a screw cap, so
also,
I think it's just...
Back to blasphemy, obviously picking you up on something else blasphemous that you mentioned is, Penny, if you want to put the if you want to screw the top on and leave it, when do we leave bottles of wine? Half
apparently full. It is a thing. It's not apparently essential that you have to empty and drink a bottle of wine when you open
okay.
it. Apparently.
Okay. But maybe I'll learn.
Actually, that's a good question though, because you if you do have some wine left in a bottle,
mm-hmm.
If you either put the screw cap back on or put the cork back in, literally probably for another 24 hours, possibly up to 48 hours, it will still be okay. It will start losing a little bit of fruit and life after that. But a tip would be that if you've got a little bit of wine left, if you put it into a smaller container,
okay,
so that you've got less room for oxygen to be in,
yeah,
and then potentially also put it in the fridge. It will
red
preserve
wine as well?
Yes, it will preserve it a bit longer.
So does it upset the red wine if you go from room temperature, like ambient, to cold and then ambient again?
I think if you're just thinking, if you had like, I don't know, a third of a bottle left and you still wanted to drink it, I think if you put it into something smaller, ideally then to screw it in and keep it in the fridge, it will just keep it fresher for a bit longer. Obviously, you've got to remember to take it out if it's red before
you
drink it.
Most massively redundant piece of conversation for me because I don't have any leftovers ever.
Or you can freeze it. If you want to put it in cooking.
You can freeze it. I did not know that.
So you could, if you've got a little bit left, you can freeze it and then you can get it out and put it in a... or something.
So you learn something every
day.
Put
it in ice cubes.
Oh, I love it.
They can make little ice cube... frozen.
Take them to work.
And no, just do that. But you can then perhaps put it into cooking if you rather than throw it away.
Okay, cool.
But it's still better to do it while it's still fresh.
Okay. Another question I have. A few of my favourite little questions, which are for the average listener, i.e. myself, if I was tuning in. How do you feel about box wine, Penny?
Well, I think, again, there's a bit of a stigma.
Massively.
From back in the day. Not that I'm far too young to remember boxed wine from the... 80s, 90s. Anyway,
it still exists though. It's still back.
Now the good news is it is coming back and the quality of the wine in boxes is good, so please don't think it's not good wine. From a sustainability point of view, and we're thinking about the environment and we're thinking about the cost of very heavy wine bottles coming over, there's a lot to say in a very positive way about boxed wine, and it does also last a long time.
Not in my mum's household,
no,
he doesn't.
But it will stay fresh in a box for quite some time.
But it's great to hear, because I do think there are these certain things, yeah, and these stigmas attached to certain things, certain behaviours, certain wines, price points,
yeah,
boxed wine. And it's really good to hear from somebody like yourself, who is well-versed and knows what they're talking about, that it isn't the worst thing in the world, that actually quality is a lot better than it used to be.
I think a lot of us will just remember going to parties and it being fairly average wine, and then you know when you had to sort of take the middle bit out and then squeeze it to get the last tip the box on its side to get the last bit of wine out.
Penny says this is something that happened in the 80s, is something that happened last week at my mum's house. So yeah, I'm telling you now, I've seen Sharon in action. This is a reality. So that's good to know. Couple of other things. Again, this is probably from my point of view, wanting to educate myself. Right, good wine, Penny. So you go into your local wine shop, or you go into a supermarket, or maybe a convenience store because you're in a rush, okay?
Yep.
And you're met with a multitude of different wines. We often, I suppose, if we've got guests, we will tend to try to go for something maybe 15 quid, 20 quid, or and think that, oh, actually, there's no quality in the £6, £7, £8 wine. And that's just not, obviously, kind of a good wine. Is that true? Is that just a fable? I mean, from your point of view, is it something to avoid like the plague? I'm keen to hear your thoughts on it, really.
Okay, well, I think there's a lot of talk about, you know, spending money on wine, and I suppose the two things are, just because a wine is a cheaper wine doesn't mean it's not good, and just because a wine's a very expensive wine doesn't mean you're going to love it. So I suppose there's a rule of thumb. If you buy a bottle of wine for £5-6, I think the thing to just be aware of is the actual amount of money of your £6 that's going to the wine is minimal. The actual cost of the bottle, tax, it being shipped over or being bottled. So if you're spending £5-6 on a bottle of wine, you're only probably spending 20-30p on what's actually in the bottle.
Oh.
So if you look at it that way... But anything you spend over that, so once you've covered the cost, anything you spend over that, you're actually spending on what's in the bottle. So if you then go from £5 to £10, £5 of that is actually going towards what you're actually buying in the bottle.
Which actually is really interesting, because I didn't even realise that.
But supermarket wines, you know, wines for £5, £6, £7 are made to be very nice, easy to drink, uncomplicated wines. So it doesn't mean they're not good wines. They're just going to be very simple, easy to drink wines.
Okay.
If you want to drink wines that are perhaps have a bit more interest to them, perhaps a bit more complexity, then you need to spend a little bit more.
Okay.
But then at the other end of the spectrum, if you start buying wines 40, 50, 60 pounds.
Good gracious. So, yeah, I am not in that ballpark figure.
You know, on a Friday night, Nikki, on a Friday night.
No, on special a Friday. Friends, on a Friday, I maybe teeter on the fact of I'm going to spend 15 quid, but I'm not ever in the 50, 60 pound bottles of wine.
But I think
no.
Sometimes people might want to buy an expensive bottle of wine for someone for a special birthday, and that's great because how often do we get to taste wines that expensive? But the challenge you might have is that there's a reason that wine is expensive, and it will be a lot about how many processes, how much time and effort has gone into making that wine. So that wine's likely to be quite complex, and it may be quite challenging for people's palates, and they might actually not genuinely really love it. So it's just something to think about if you're buying an expensive bottle of wine.
Okay, well, as I said, she is the font of all knowledge. If you want to know about wine, and I'm coming up with the questions that are, I think, all on our lips. And, you know, the things that you just don't know about, really. Cork, screw, box wine. There's so many different things.
Say screw again.
Screw. I said screw because you made me say screw. Okay, his penny is filthy. It's filthy mouth. I am going to do a couple of quick shout-outs before we play a song. And then we're going to come back to the amazing penny. And I have to say, I think it's one of the shows that's gone the quickest because I'm just literally absorbing all the information so that I can sound like I've done the qualifications that Penny has. So, Penny, I'm going to be asking you for some, you know, little terminology so I can, you know, put in my little book. I'm going to pour a glass of wine now from our lovely bottle. And Penny, I hope you're going to raise me in a toast, if you don't mind, because I've just had some news in from Australia, all the way across,
really.
And we are going to talk about new...
Do we need a little fanfare?
So Penny's just filling the glass up as we speak. Hang on a second. This is super, this is live and on air. So one of my friends who used to work with me and was actually my marketing assistant, she's just had a beautiful little baby girl.
Oh,
so a cheers to you, Rebecca. And it's either Eliza or Eliza. So I don't know how we pronounce it.
We had a little clink then.
We had a clink. And this is for Rebecca and her beautiful little baby girl, who's absolutely stunning. She sent me lots of pictures. And this song, I hope you are tuned in, is for you and for Eliza. Stroke Eliza, Stevie Wonder, Isn't She Lovely?
Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful?
That was the wonderful Stevie Wonder, Isn't She Lovely? And that's for my friend Rebecca, who is halfway across the globe and just given birth to her beautiful little girl, Eliza. And I've seen the pictures. She's perfect. So we've raised a glass to you in the studio. Couple more shout-outs, because I'm terrible and I get so immersed in the whole wine subject that I'll forget. So my sister Kelly's listening with my gorgeous, gorgeous nieces and nephews. Kelly, I love you lots, and there's a song coming up for you. Auntie Bev and Uncle Jim, this is like this terribly embarrassing shout out to everyone. A lovely, lovely close best friend of mine as well that's in Paris, Noor, listening, always supporting, and there'll be some songs for you guys coming up, as there's one for Harriet. So if I've missed any of you, I'm really sorry. You have my phone number. Do send me a text and a request. But in the meantime, we are back with the one and only Penny Hollington. Penny in the studio. So we last left it at questions that I wanted to know the answer to. And I have one here as well.
Okay, go.
Come closer. Come closer. So, Prosecco or Carver?
What I prefer or generally?
What you prefer.
Carver.
And Carver, give us a background on Carver, because not everybody will know where it comes from.
So Carver, predominantly from Catalonia in eastern Spain, and it's made like champagne, so traditional method. So again, I could do a whole presentation about champagne.
You know what? Let's just traditional method. I hear this all the time. Just quickly, traditional method, succinctly, tell me what that is.
So it basically means that the second fermentation, which is where the bubbles happen, is done in the bottle. And then those bottles are left to age for quite some time. So Carver is made like champagne.
Okay.
But it's probably at least half the price of champagne, but it has a champagne style to it. So very similar to Method Traditionnel wines that are made from South Africa. So again, if you like a champagne style, that's the style of wine.
Sorry, I'm laughing.
But you haven't got the money to live a champagne
that's
lifestyle.
Me. That's me. I'm a champagne girl on Carver drink. Yes, I am your Carver girl.
Yeah, but look for those. Whereas Prosecco, I mean, I think the biggest number of drinkers of Prosecco, I think, outside of Italy.
But it just goes to show how marketing is so key.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that was not even a thing up until recently. No. And then gin had that new revival also.
Yeah, of course.
Whereas gin was mother's ruin.
Yes.
And now it's come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, I think the other one I was talking about the other day, which obviously isn't wine, is cider. Cider is an old man's drink, and now it's super cool, and everyone's drinking it outside in pub gardens.
Yeah. And flavoured ciders has really increased that market.
It is marketing, isn't it? Yeah. Because Carver hasn't taken off.
No, well, actually, Carver has been around for a long time, and I think it's just been a little bit forgotten, I think, with the love of Prosecco. But again, Prosecco is, you know, what's not to like? It's a very easy, light, bubbly wine. It's not too expensive, and it's, you know, there's never an occasion where someone pops a glass of Prosecco in your hand. So if you like that style, then that's great. But if you like more of the sort of champagne style, which is, you know, perhaps a bigger, richer sparkles, then look for...
So if you are a champagne girl with lemonade money, like myself...
South African South African sparkling and Carver are good things that are sort of half the price, but you still get that sort of depth of flavour.
Yeah, I love Carver. Mm. I really genuinely like it. I mean, it's so palatable and easy to drink.
Absolutely.
I think more so than Prosecco. Is it not as dry as Prosecco, perhaps? Is that why? I mean, Prosecco is secco, dry, no?
Yeah, no, Prosecco. I mean, Prosecco is made to be... It can be dry, it can be slightly off dry, but I think it's made to be, the bubbles are quite light. It's made to be able to, you can drink it quite happily and quite a lot of it.
Okay, listen, you haven't seen us in action. A couple of things I'm going to mention whilst Penny's here, so I don't forget, because I'm a terror for this, is Penny does these amazing wine tastings. And if you haven't been to one, you must go. I've been to many and I've learned lots of different bits and pieces, but... Equally, you have fun. She chooses great wines. She's Lady Penelope Wines. Her details will be on the website. And I have chosen my friends quite wisely, because I have Penny coming over next week with some friends.
Only because she wants some lovely wine.
Yes. I love the fact that she knows that's the only reason we're friends. No, it most certainly isn't. Penny's amazing. But I'm doing a 3-course meal, and I sent the menu over so Penny can wine match and can kind of like choose these wines to complement the food. And I think I'm more excited about the wine you're going to select than me cooking the food. I'm like, there's no pressure. But I do think you're quite impressed with the menu, no?
I have to say, if she's going to cook it herself, I'm absolutely impressed. I think it's going to be a bit like a Come Dine With Me when that lady had the food delivered to her house. Nonsense. Do you remember that episode?
No, I do.
And
I...
she still won it.
Yeah, I know. But
even
that,
though she cheated.
I don't cheat. I'm a scratch cook. That's what my mum taught us. And from a little girl being sat on the side, given the menial task of grating carrots and potatoes, that's where I learnt the craft. So I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Good.
And I'm looking forward to you repaying the compliment. Are you doing lasagna at
your
house?
She's already been around for lasagna, yes. Homemade.
I have. No, she's an amazing cook and amazing sommelier. I'm coming back with Penny. I'm going to play a couple of songs. I have a list as long as my arm, and I'm really bad. I ask all these people for requests, they send them in, and then they
and
don't.
What about my request?
Oh no, you're coming. Okay, you can't
forget me.
Do you want ABBA, The Winner Takes It All, or would you like Loreen, Euphoria?
Do you know what? I think we might have to go Loreen.
Okay, guys, girls, are you ready? This is an absolute banger. This is Loreen, Euphoria. She won 2 years ago on the Eurovision.
So she won last year, which is why she's.
But she won the
Sweden,
year before.
But I think she won before, not the year before, but she has won. She won before with this song, and then she won last year with Tattoo.
Yeah, and if you don't like trance-like music, you will after you hear this track. So, yes, this is Loreen, Euphoria, and I look forward to hearing you and coming back to you and talking about Penny shortly. The wine's clearly kicking in.
Why can't this moment last forever? Tonight eternity's an open door. I've never stopped doing the things you do. Don't go. And every breath I take, I'm breathing.
Oh my God, Penny and I were dancing around the studio for that one. That's such an upbeat song, but the next one is not so upbeat. My lovely sister's listening, and it's the first time she's listened to the show with my gorgeous nieces and nephews. So Dolly, Darcy, Tommy, Mikey and Reggie, I know you're going to be listening with your mummy, and I love you all very, very much. And this one is actually a song that my dad used to always, Kelly and my dad had this affinity with this song, And God rest his soul, not to be to mellow the mood, but when you have a sister and when you've got the family listening in and you love them, you have to do the shout outs. So before I talk back to the amazing Penny about how you can book her to come and improve your wine nights and your feasts and your dinners and impress your friends, I'm going to play this one for my sister. And this is no other than The Cure, Lullaby. Well, that's what I mean with this radio show. You're never, ever going to hear Loreen Euphoria followed by The Cure Lullaby in any other show. You're back with me, the Modern Essex Girl, and our time is unfortunately, it's literally coming to an end. But with that said, we do have maybe a couple of moments more we can squeeze in with our fantastic Penny Hollington, who has been a dream guest. So much so, Penny, You're back on, close to the mic.
Oh.
We've decided, haven't we, that you're going to be a regular fixture.
Well, Nikki's decided.
Nikki's enjoyed the wine so much.
She just wants free wine.
No, I don't. No, actually, do you know what? It's so lovely because I feel like I'm educating myself. And I also feel we're helping people that, especially society, there's so many wine drinkers out there. And it's such a kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit of a minefield. And I know that there is a huge fear factor when it comes to choosing wine and choosing well. And I think some of the things you've kind of alluded to and given us a little bit of an insight to have been so helpful. I mean, there's a few more.
Yeah.
Before I go on, I'm just going to say hello to Sarah and to Jess, who are tuning in from Scouseland. Hey, your kid. That's Yorkshire, isn't it? That's boss, that.
It's difficult. Oh, that's better.
That's boss.
That's better.
That's boss. That's the girls better. Are listening in. Yeah. When I was up there, I went to see them a little while ago, and I learned a new phrase, which is, I'm learning about wine. I'm also learning the Liverpudlian kind of little words, bits and pieces that go with it. Don't be soft. Soft. Now, what do you think that means?
If you say don't be soft.
Like, I'm not soft.
I don't know. What does it mean?
It means I'm not soft, Nick. That means I'm not stupid.
Right.
Yeah. And then I had this thing. Sorry, I'm such a terror. I digress so terribly. But this is because my girls have just shouted in, like sent me a message in, and I have to talk about them because they're tuning in and they're at the gym and stuff and doing their life. But I call everybody a little rat bag. It's just, you've heard me, my team are little rat bags. And I kept saying to Sarah and to Jess, oh, you're such little rats. And they're like, Nick, you can't call us rats. It's not acceptable in Liverpool. So apparently that's not acceptable. It's a really derogatory word. So I went to Liverpool and I learned a whole new vocabulary. So girls, if you're listening, I've learnt my lesson. No more rat talk, but there's lots of wine talk to wrap up the night. So Penny, back to wine. New world wine.
Yes.
Why do people have this hang up with Australian wine?
Well, a couple of things. I think, again, going back to when we talked about boxed wines, perhaps back in the day, people remember there was a lot of Australian wine available to buy, and a lot of it was very heavily oaked. So it was quite cheap wine. It was quite heavily oaked. Although actually it wasn't oaked, they used kind of oak staves in the wine, which is cheaper, but that's another story for another day. And I think it just put a lot of people off Australian wine because of that really strong kind of oaky flavour. And I think for some people, they've just avoided it ever since. So sometimes it's just a memory from the past, and winemaking's changed, methods have changed, things are much better now. But I think for some people have just got a hang up still about those flavours they remember.
Okay, so that's literally the long and short of the reason
why
people...
It could well be. And I think there are people who like drinking French wine, and, you know, a lot of people say French wine is the best wine in the world, and they like drinking French wine, and they will want to drink French wine.
And what
wine.
Are your thoughts on that?
I think there's lots of wine across the world. There's so many wines. I think we should all try as many things as we can while we can.
I do have my best friend listening in, Noor, and she's married to a Frenchman.
Right.
And they love their wines. And I think she's actually from the Netherlands. He's French. And he's always really good at picking good French wine. And I have to say, I do love French wine. I'm not opposed to New World. I'm really not opposed to anything alcoholic, but...
I think it comes down to the same thing. I think if you say you normally drink French wine and you think, actually, I'd quite like to venture out and try different things, again, it's just having a bit of knowledge to know where do you go. If you like drinking Burgundy, what's the best wine to try from somewhere else that's going to give you a similar feel, but you're going to sort of experiment a little bit more. So I think it's just knowledge, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, any of you listening tonight have had this amazing snapshot of Penny, but you can have even more of her because she does private wine tastings, corporate wine tastings, wine matching to different menus. I mean, effectively, you can do anything really, can't you? From under your banner, Lady Penelope Wines, I've seen you in action. We've done charity gigs together.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
You know, Penny's amazing, as is Josh, her partner, and they're big advocates, big supporters of SNAP, which is a phenomenal charity helping lots and lots of families across Essex. And we recently did a wine event, and Penny was at the helm. And if it hadn't been for Penny and Josh, we wouldn't have raised the money that we raised. Penny's to-do list, both bossy. We're both quite strong women. We've both got opinions, but we worked it out and we raised £17,000. But, you know, Penny is so, I think, her skill set is so transferable. So you're coming to mine and we're doing this amazing evening, and I don't expect her to be working, but she is going to pair the wine. We're doing another wine event, aren't we, in a couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah, yes, we are, yeah.
So a
corporate wine sort of networking event that we're hosting, aren't we? So, really, it's my point of being really is about consulting, hosting and educating.
And also I say another thing, you know, forget the corporate stuff, forget the dinners and forget that kind of larger scale stuff. Anyone listening that's interested in wine, you also do kind of smaller groups at, you know, Nish at the Shenfield Wine Company.
Yeah.
He's got amazing room out back, and you can do some really kind of bespoke stuff for groups of friends and stuff on birthdays.
Yeah. So really, you can use sort of a wine event as a way of celebrating little thing at home. So I go to people's homes, so I can do tastings there, and we make those very relaxed and fun and informal, but, you know, bring a little bit of education. To bigger events, to more hosted events, to fundraisers, corporate, so for team bonding or team building events, it can work really well. So
And I have to say, I mean, what is more impressive than hosting a group of your friends in a private room with you talking about wines that maybe the host particularly likes, wants to learn more about, or have you at their home and a chef, or even if they're cooking? I'm very fortunate because I've written this really quite posh menu that Penny's really in awe of, and I'm like, oh my god, I might just go to Marks and Spencer's and just get some microwave stuff, and she's like, very, very impressed, and I've chosen some great wines to go with the food. I'm like, no pressure. It's amazing. I didn't realise that was even a thing until I met with you, that you do lots of these intimate kind of scenarios.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's just really whatever you want as a, whether it's a private event or whatever you want for your friends or your clients, then we can talk about it and we can put something together and bespoke it just for whatever you want and whatever outcome you'd like. And it can be as formal or as informal as you like, and as fun and as relaxed as you like.
Yeah. 100%. I echo that. Everything she just said is so true, because I've been to many events and we're hosting lots of different things because Penny is pretty much in the know when it comes to wine. Penny, you've been amazing.
Thank you.
I want you back once a month at least, and it's nothing to do with the wine. It's to do with a free-flowing conversation. Last plug, Penny, you're here, you do amazing stuff. Where can we find out? So we've just spoken about the things you do. Is it ladypenelopewines.com?
Lady Penelope Wines. So generally you can find me on Instagram, and I have a website which is lp-wines.co.uk.
And once you've met with Penny and you've seen what she can do, she will be your go-to for everything wine. She's phenomenal, and I'm very lucky to have her in our midst tonight, and very much going to be a feature on the show. And I am going to play your song, and I'm going to play a few more whilst we enjoy the delectable bottle of wine that Joss and Penny chose for us to enjoy. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It's always a delight to have you here. It's super delightful to have Penny here, who's... it's going so quickly. It's just
flown by.
Flown by for me because you've been so much fun. So I'm going to play a couple of songs. They're going to be one after another of shout outs and songs that I've had requested. But first and foremost, this one is for no other than our lovely Penny Hollington, aka Lady Penelope Wines. Thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
And this is The Winner Takes It All.
Hooray!
I don't wanna talk about things we've gone through, though it's hurting me. Now it's history. I played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say, no more ace to play. The winner takes it all, the loser standing small. Beside the victory, make sense. Building me a fence, building me a home, thinking I'd be strong there, but I was a fool, laying by the rules. The gods make wrong with us, their minds as cold as ice, and some. It feels the same when she calls your name. Somewhere deep inside, you must know I miss you. But what can I say? Rules must be obeyed. If it makes you feel sad, and I understand, you've come to shake my hand. I apologize if it makes you feel bad, seeing me so tense, no self-confidence. But you see, the winner takes it all.
Kick you out if she ever, ever knew about all the you tell me that you do. Dirty, dirty boy, you know everyone is talking on the scene. I hear them whispering about the places that you've been and how you don't know how to keep your business clean. Mommy,
drop the attic. Give me love, give me Fendi, my Balenciaga daddy. You gon' need to bag it up, cause I'm spending on Rodeo. You can wish me back it up, I'll be gone in the AM. And he got me Prada, get me Miu Miu like Rihanna. He always call me, cause I never cause no drama.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.